In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another session of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And once again, we designed this podcast primarily to introduce you to people who are making a change in the world for the better and creating more harmony along the way. And if we can make the world better for everyone in this day and age, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And we're glad today to have Jay Millar with us. Let me tell you a little bit about Jay. Jay works primarily with helping men stop the overwhelm of life. Wouldn't that be nice? He helps those who want to become a better husband, father, provider, and anything else that they can be to be good in this world. He provides exact blueprint and actionable steps that would create success and peace in the households. He's passionate about filling the gap that many men feel when they're raised without a father figure, those guidance that people need to learn how to be better in their family, marriage, and work. And the proven lessons he has make an amazing big impact. He is the founder of My Virtual Dad. Jay is a native of Colorado. He's been married to his beautiful wife, Debbie, for 26 years, and they have three sons. One is 25, 23, and 21 years old, and one daughter-in-law. So, Jay, tell me, how did you get involved in this awesome venture that is so needed today?
Well, Tom, it's great to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast, and thank you for all you're doing with the Harmony Goal. I think it's a wonderful addition to the world and sharing good opportunities, good lessons, and people trying to make a difference in the world. I'm a very small part of that, but how I got into it is it's been a journey. I'm 55 years old now. I grew up in a home with domestic violence and alcoholism, and my parents divorced when I was around 10 years old. And what that meant was I didn't have a father figure speaking into my life. And what I found is I was making a lot of decisions throughout my life. I was the first one in my lineage to go to college, making decisions like that. I joined the military without consulting a parent. I just made the decision on my own. It turned out to be a gift of a decision for me. Getting married, building a career. I was going through all these gates in life. And I didn't have any advice. I didn't have a fatherly figure, riding shoulder to shoulder with me, kind of saying, hey, here's some areas where you might want to explore. Here's some pitfalls that you might want to try to avoid. And that led to a lot of anger. So what really changed, a pivotal moment in my life, I was 22. I'd been in the military, so I was still in college. I think I graduated college around the age of 25. And I heard Lou Holtz, and this was before YouTube and social media, Tom. So I felt very lucky to have been walking by the television when I heard this quote. And it was Lou Holtz. He was the head coach of Notre Dame football at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said something that changed my life. He said, there's only three things that will change you from where you're at today to where you're going to be 5 years from now. And that's the people you meet, the books you read, and the dreams you dream. Yeah. He, of course, stole that from some other motivational speaker of the 1960s, Charlie Tremendous Jones, but that was the first time I had heard it. And the way I internalized that, Tom, was because I was pretty angry, like, hey, Dad, why aren't you here? Why aren't you showing up? Why am I trying to have to figure these things out all on my own? And what I internalized that to mean was I can create the word I used in my head back then was tapestry of advisors. I've got other family members and uncles and bosses and teachers and, mentors that I can go seek out intentionally. I can read good books that have great, healthy nutrition of advice that's proven and passed the test over time. So I can get guidance, even though I'm not getting it directly in my household. I can get guidance and I can go seek it, but I need to be intentional about it. So that's how I got into it. Now I have a heart for other men who have a father that either didn't show up, and there's I've got a list of like eight types of fathers out there. Mine was abusive and didn't show up. But there's others that, are just passive. There's others that, you know, are loving and passive. There's others that are controlling. There's others that are always trying to save you and do everything for you. And there's all these different types of fathers that I think that we need to work through in order to become the best version of ourselves that we can be.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. Well, thank you. That's a beautiful summary of where you're coming from there. What about, I would assume in developing this program of My Virtual Dad, you've looked at some statistics out there to see what that's all about. I mean, as a starting point, were there any statistics that kind of blew you away or kind of really shook you up and got your attention?
Yeah, one resource that really opened my eyes was a book called The Boy Crisis, and it was written by Warren Farrell and John Gray. I think it was written, I should know the answer to this, I think it was written about 2016, 2017. And there is it's just data-driven analysis about the danger that men are in today. I mean, here's some examples. Men are five times more likely to commit suicide than women. Men of my age are twice as likely to die as women of the same age. And that's due to substance abuse, suicide. 14 of the 15 top causes of death, men lead by far over women. And that's a stunning statistic to me, just in terms of heart disease and cancer and things like that. Men far outpace women in death in those areas. Educationally, men are nine times more likely to drop out of school. Did you know today that only 40% of college students are men? And theoretically, it should be 50-50. I think in 50 years ago in 1970, it was 60% men and 40% women. And it really should be 50-50, but men are just dropping out of school more. Men are six times more likely to live in poverty. And this is a global crisis. This boy crisis, this man crisis exists in 63 of the largest developed nations around the world. So it's not just a U.S. thing, a North American thing.
Oh, man, that's pretty amazing. I had no idea of some of those statistics. Thank you for sharing that. And I know our audience would be happy to hear that you've done that research for them and know what those warning signs are all about. What about divorce? If you're talking about, you know, having that role model at home, what happens in divorce these days as far as affecting that?
Well, you know, since the early 70s, when, you know, you could have no-fault divorce and things like that. And I came from a home with domestic violence. My mom was very brave in my mind to get out of a marriage and to keep us and herself safe. So I agree with that decision. But divorce is, it's a problem. I mean, depending on what statistics you look at, 40 to 50% of all marriages end in divorce. And what that means is if you're a young boy, and this pertains to girls as well, right? Girls are very much benefit from a good fatherly, loving, a good loving fatherly figure. Mm-hmm. But what that means for a boy is they don't have a lot of time with their dad. And they're not spending the time. They're not learning. We actions speak way louder than words. So you a lot of time miss the actions of that. So if 40 to 50% of marriages end in divorce, you're just not getting that touch. Even more sadly, I've seen some statistics that say of the other 50 to 60% of marriages, two thirds of them are just going through the motions. And there's not a lot of intentionality behind that too. So the statistics are can be very dreary there, but there is hope. I mean, there is ways that you can get support and you can find your way through. But divorce is definitely something just by osmosis. You're not spending enough time with your dad, seeing how he acts. You know, I want my boys to grow up and say, you know, I want to treat my wife the way I saw dad treat mom, right? Mm-hmm. I want to work and build my career because I saw how dad did it. And I saw how dad prioritized family over work, you know, just all these things that you don't really say, mm-hmm. but you feel and you experience. And I think that's the big challenge with divorce. Again, there's ways to work through it. So there is hope, but those are some of the challenges you have to overcome.
Wow. So even when you've got a cohesive somewhat cohesive family, if the father doesn't know how to father, you know, the thing is, you know, I always hear people say, when you have a child, it doesn't come with a manual. You know, you don't get a manual knowing how to do that. And I think the same thing probably holds true. And maybe you could tell me if this is correct or not. But when you become a parent, you don't have a manual, not only how to deal with the child, but how to be with that child.
Yeah.
What do you have to offer for us to help a dad be a good dad?
I mean, well, I'll tell you, that very thing is, you know, knowing that that's what led to forgiveness that I had with my father. I'm very much at peace with my father. Now, unfortunately, he passed 26 years ago. And but we had the best relationship we could. I never knew the best dad I had. He was always ill with alcoholism. So I really didn't know my dad. He was always intoxicated is the truth. At the end of his life, he cleaned up a little bit, and we had the most lucid conversations that we'd ever had. But what led me to forgive him was I thought he didn't really know how to father. You know, I don't think my grandfather was a bad man. I mean, but I don't think my grandfather gave my father a lot of attention either. I don't know if he was intentional in trying to help my father along his path. I think a lot of that generation, and no judgment here, Tom, you know, that generation was, you know, post-World War II and, right. You know, things were booming and kind of the good old times in America. It's like, hey, just let the kids go. They'll figure it out. Right. You know, and that's really not the case anymore in this day and age. Maybe it was back in the 50s. Like, hey, you know, you're going to figure it out. But so many new variables have come into play with, you know, things like social media and the internet. And I mean, My parents didn't, they filed for bankruptcy multiple times, each, my mom and my dad. They got caught in the credit card trap, right? They grew up in a cash-based society in a farming community. They didn't know how to deal with credit. So therefore they got caught there and they just got crushed by it. So to answer your question in a very long way, Tom, what can I do? My program is just based around a lot of use cases. Mm-hmm. How can you build your family in a good financial way? How can you build your career in a positive and intentional way? How can you take care of your body and build a community of friends around you and link arms with other men to do life together? How can you take care of your mental health in a good and positive way? So it's really use case based and very practical is the way I try to come about delivering my programs.
So tell me a little bit about your programs, because, you know, with your My Virtual Dad, I mean, a fabulous name that you chose there, because it says everything right in a very few words. What do you do to help the fathers out there become better fathers?
Yeah. That's a great question. So again, going back to the Lou Holtz quote, you know, the people you meet, the books you read, and the dreams you dream are the only things that are going to change your life. And they can either change your life in a negative way or a positive way as well. Right. You can ingest a lot of things that are not going to be helpful to you. And like I said, back in the 80s, when I heard that quote, I used the term a tapestry of advisors. And now I've modernized it to a virtual dad. And I think we all have virtual dads. Again, we have uncles and neighbors and bosses and teachers and mentors that speak into our life in different ways, right? And I don't know if you've ever heard of cognitive behavioral therapy. Have you heard of that?
Oh yeah.
It's a technique that involves, I call it the mind and the heart, right? You know, you can talk through, you have a problem, and a lot of it is fear-based. If you're afraid of flying or if you're afraid of snakes, right? You can mentally walk through, hey, that's not a rational thought, and you can put good thoughts in your head, but then you have to go through the emotion. You can put yourself in situations where you're actually confronting that fear and facing that fear and working through it so that you can, you know, create a new outcome for yourself so you don't have that fear any longer. Mm-hmm. And what I do with my program, again, is it's use-based approach is, you know, A, it's, you got to have the right mindset. I mean, that's something that I see a lot of coaches doing in the world. You know, I mean, some of the famous ones like the Tony Robbins and the Brendan Burchards and all those folks. And I believe in mindset. You absolutely need to stop start with a mindset of, yes, I can do this.
Right.
But after that, you need to get very practical. So how can you build a good financial foundation for yourself? Right. And so what I've done is I've curated a list of like 50 books and thousands of conversations that I've had. And I bring those to the men that I work with to give them a very, you know, accelerated, actionable plan. So in a very short amount of time, they can get off to a very quick start and not have to search for years and years and years and stumble and fall and, you know, make wrong investments or, you know, save their money buy a big car and a big house and not save for retirement and all those things. You can just build a really solid foundation mm-hmm. that everybody can use. And the same thing goes with prioritizing your family and how to build your career, how to interview, how to get off to a quick start in your career and really show the organization that you, your employer, that you're a valuable employee. I've just curated all that. It's about 50 books and again, thousands of conversations that I've curated into my content and my material. Because if you want to be a better husband, father, provider, and you go to Amazon.com or you go into Barnes & Noble, there's no section for that, really. Mm. And so where do you start? And I try to give that great, that very quick starting point through my programs.
So you've got a bookstore online.
And I actually give all the Cliff's Notes, or what do they call them these days? Spark Notes, the condensed version of, right. Hey, this is what you can get out of it. I encourage the folks, the men that go through my program to read the books, because I think that's more helpful. But I curate the list and the messages, the key messages out of that content and deliver it to the men.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. What about, I would assume you've probably done some community type of work or things that maybe have helped out some of the people that not necessarily in your program. Because I want to find out a little bit more about your program before we finish up here today. But what other things have you done to help just a helpful hint, because our listeners right now, obviously, all these people are not going to get a chance to go to your program, although we would love them to. What's one or two little hints that you could give them just as a starting point? I know the books and making sure you've got the right mindset and everything, but how do you get to that mindset? Yeah, how do you get to the changing your desire to become a better father?
You know, to me, and it did begin in my mind and in my heart. And the first step is, I call it understanding and dealing and honoring your past. Mm-hmm. And really three things come out of that. Number one is understand you're not alone. For 30 years, the last night my father lived in my home, it was a domestic violence. He was attacking my mom. My brother stepped in, the police came, you know, it was chaos. The last night my father lived in my house. Interesting thing, Tom, we never talked about that night again in my life. And so we kind of buried it. And what that caused was shame from me. I didn't want to talk about it. I thought I was the oddball. And this is back in the 70s. Back in the 70s, you didn't talk about some taboo things. You didn't Right. talk about alcoholism or mental health or divorce. You didn't talk about those things freely. Today, it's probably the opposite, where you talk about those things all the time, or you compare your imperfect life to somebody's apparently perfect life on social media, right? Mm-hmm. And so you think you don't have it figured out. I thought everybody else had it figured out. And it was about when I was age 40, I went to a retreat, and this I realized we did introductions. It was on a Friday night in Idlewild, California, in a cabin with 18 other businessmen and the moderator, a wonderful moderator, a friend of mine, and he wrote a book, Vance Caesar. He said, how many of you have been impacted by alcohol negatively in your family life? And like 80% of us raised our hand. And up until that point, as silly as it sounds, Tom, I thought I was alone and I was filled with shame because we never talked about that moment. So emotionally, to get my mind right, I had to, one, realize I wasn't alone. Two, I had to realize that, you know, I had to realize that I was worthy. And mm-hmm. I was dreaming big. The Lou Holtz quote again, people mm-hmm. you meet, the books you read, and the dreams you dream. So I was dreaming big, but there I had a governor on my dreaming system, meaning I wanted big things. I knew I could achieve big things, but I didn't feel worthy of big things for whatever reason. When your parent doesn't lean in and make you feel like you're important, you're like, man, am I tarnished? Why wouldn't want somebody, you know, I didn't think I was the greatest kid in the world. And, you know, I know I was a knucklehead, but why doesn't my dad want to hang out with me? Right. So am I not worthy of that time? So I wasn't alone. I wasn't worthy. And I did have to realize, again, back to the dreaming big, I had to realize that, you know, there is a way out of this. And I can be vulnerable with other people. I can tell them that I've got challenges. And guess what? Almost 99.9% of the time, when you're a little bit vulnerable, folks raise their hand and say, you know, me too, right? My life isn't perfect. You thought I was perfect. I thought you were perfect. You thought I was perfect, but we're not perfect and we're all fighting battles.
But that willingness to raise your hand and say I'm vulnerable is a major, major step forward. I think that probably is in so many different areas of our life too. If somebody, you know, wants to admit that they've got, a lot of people don't want to admit they're dyslexic. People don't want to admit that they have, you know, little flaws in their life, but they're not flaws at all. You know, they are just things that are there, and there's a lot of company out there for us. That's a beautiful thing, is just to be able to admit and open up to other people and communicate. So that retreat you went to was just the perfect time, perfect place for you to be able to make that step. That's beautiful. And you share that with folks.
And I start every lesson I have with, sometimes I call it a story about a boy named Jay. I always start with a story of where I failed. Or, you know, you can take the Thomas Edison approach. I didn't fail. I just didn't figure it out the first time. And I didn't get it right the first time. Right. That's right. My mindset now is I didn't fail. I tried and it didn't work. So I'm going to try something different that does work. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first story I tell in my program, I call it Elvis in the Jockstrap, happened to be the day that Elvis Presley died back in 1977. And I was getting ready to go to a basketball camp. I'd never worn a jockstrap, Tom. Even though I'd played sports, I'd never been in a locker room. I didn't know how to, and it was a required piece of equipment for this basketball camp. I was about 10 years old, and I put it on backwards. Tom, I'm sorry. This is a family friendly podcast. I had testicles the size of a walnut. I didn't think it was a problem that needed fixing, so I didn't even know how to put on the jockstrap. Right. And I laughed that day, but over time, that was one of the key moments where I got upset and I'm like, again, where were you, Dad? You know, that turned into a moment of shame and anger over time. And now I fully laugh at it. Right. But, you know, just being vulnerable and showing that I don't have it all figured out, but hey, I'm going to be a good and helpful guide to get you on the right path. And I'm going to share with you some of the mistakes I make. And if I can save somebody, and this is what I tell my boys, my three boys, if I can save you two decades of, you know, thinking that you're alone, you know, that's a lot of valuable time in life. You can accelerate and you can make great progress in life if you think, hey, everybody's got challenges. I'm not a knucklehead. I'm not a loser. Well, you are a knucklehead, but you're not a loser and you're not terrible. You just need to keep working at it to figure things out.
Beautiful. So tell me about your program. What is your program right now? Is it an online program? Is it a face-to-face program? Tell us a little bit about that. So any of our listeners that might be interested in checking that out.
It's mostly online, but I do in person. And I've been in part of men's groups. Again, this intentionality that I've had, I've been a part of and been a follower and been a leader of men's groups for 30 years, just trying to seek out other men and learn their stories and learn what is helping them through life. The pandemic I have a day job. I'm in technology sales. I do this. Some people, you know, volunteer at Habitat for Humanity. Some go to soup kitchens. Some do other, you know, volunteer work. This is how I spend my nights and weekends. And so I work on programs. I've got the essence of it is I call it game plan for life. How can you have a game plan for life? And I do it around Right now, I'm focused on, I'll call it men in transition. So I have game plan for life for men getting ready to go to college. Hey, here's some of the things that you need to know if you're going to college. Mm-hmm. I have game plan for life for people, for men getting out of college. Okay, here's how you build your career. Here's how you interview. Here's how you, you know, dating and, you know, how you can build a structured thing. I have game plan for marriage as well. I do pre-marriage. That's probably the most fun thing I do, Tom. Is, hey, if you and your spouse, your future spouse can align around these four elements, you know, your chances of success, because I'm trying to mitigate the divorce rate. Mm-hmm. So I have game plan for marriage, and I have a game plan for veterans getting out of the military, who are trying to make their way in life. And there's a lot of vulnerability there. There's extremely high amount of divorce rate, especially for combat veterans. That's like over 80%. It's even higher for that group.
Oh, that's
and then I, again, the other thing I'm working at with my boys are have been in the hockey community, so we have a lot of athletic friends, and some of them are in college, some of them are in pro. And what I found, Tom, is folks either, you know, getting ready to get out of a professional sport, it's a very traumatic experience for them, because their identity has been associated with their, and I think this is true. You could be a CEO, you could be a CFO, you could be a worker. You mm-hmm. could be the person who coordinates all of the, you know, the people who do interpretation at Denver County courts, and you could work really, really hard every day, and that could be your identity. So when you transition from work to some other type of profession, that's a huge thing. And people get lost there. And there's a lot of, mental well-being that needs to be taken into effect. But a lot of times, you know, you package that in of, am I taking care of myself? And do I have a plan for life? Again, around finances and family. Faith is a big part of it, too. I encourage everybody. I'm a Christian man. Faith is a huge part of my life, but I don't lead with that. If somebody is any other faith or denomination or atheist or agnostic, I don't care. Mm-hmm. My encouragement to everybody is think about something bigger than yourself.
Right.
You know, whether it's a community, whether it's, a vet shelter or something like that, you know, find something to think about bigger than yourself, because it makes you feel better. It makes you feel less selfish. It helps you give back to the world, just like you're trying to do here with the Harmony Goal podcast, Tom. So I do encourage in all my programs, folks to think about what is it beyond themselves and their family that they want to contribute to in this world.
Mm-hmm. And I think even going back to that part about where something changes so big, either the military or, you know, the job change, a lot of people don't realize that there's grief involved there and they don't know how to handle that grief.
Absolutely.
And a pandemic did that with a lot of people. It changed a lot of lives and people didn't know quite how to deal with and handle that. So I think that father figure of somebody who could be strong to help people through that, but they've got to be strong themselves. They have got to have the tools. And I think that's what you're giving them here. That's beautiful. Because I applaud the number of programs that are out there for women, the women's group for this, women's group for that. There are so few men's support organizations. And I am thrilled to hear about what you're doing here about My Virtual Dad, because it basically is that whole image of the dad who can give advice and be there and be strong for you, even though they may be vulnerable themselves.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that about women's programs and minority programs and disability programs, I think, are huge. That's a well underserved community as well. There's a lot of programs like that, but there are no men's. There's no White House Council to help men right now, despite all the statistics that are showing that men are in great, great danger right now. I'm working with one guy. He's a mentor of mine, and he's helping me with develop some community programs. He's Latino and he's worked with the Latino community a lot. And he's like, Jay, this program would really help the women in our community. And here's why. He's like, they're trying to earn more, but they're trying to do too much on their own. And he goes, so Latino women, and I'm going to misquote it, but just give me a little grace here because I don't have this off the top of my head, but they don't make like 60% of what an average worker makes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they're devalued. It's just because they can't go all in on their work. They're trying to balance things at home. They got to get home and they've got kids and they've got families to care for because the father isn't stepping up. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is they can't accelerate and develop their career because they're trying to, you know, keep all the plates spinning at mm-hmm. work and at home. And it's really putting a limitation on their ability in many other facets of life. So he's like, Jay, let's work on developing some programs to help, you know, different, you know, communities. And I would love to, and I'm writing some grants to develop some community work here locally in Colorado. But, you know, it's things like that I want to make an impact.
Well, how can people find your program? I would assume you have a website that we could tell our listeners about.
Yep. It's pretty easy to find. It's well, there's one little caveat. It's myvirtualdad.net. So don't go to myvirtualdad.com. Go to myvirtualdad.net. And you can find out about me. Send me an email at jay@myvirtualdad.net. And I've got the ability, you can look at the programs, you can contact me, you can sponsor or donate. I have a lot of people who are sponsoring, you know, family members or groups, mm-hmm. you know, within a community. We've got, you know, we're starting to build, I'm going to do a program for United States Air Force Academy and St. Cloud State University for some of their athletes that are transitioning out of their athletic identity and into the real world. Mm-hmm. And really put, and it's all a game plan for life is what the programs are called. So myvirtualdad.net is the best way to find me, and you can reach out to me anytime.
Very good. And the other is
jay at myvirtualdad.net.
And it's also .net. Okay.
Yeah.
Both of those are very good. So no .com, it's a .net.
Yep.
You're going to change the world, so you might as well change the standard there, right?
one dude at a time. I've got a big goal. My goal is to impact 100,000 men. I'm a long way from that, but this is something I want to do literally till the day I die. I want to help influence men. I can't not do this, Tom.
Right.
Now that's terrible English, but I can't not continue this mission that I have, and I will continue it. And there's a plan for it. It will unfold. And it has, it's evolved over the past 5 or 6 years, and it will continue to evolve. And I'm really excited about the future.
Well, I'm excited at the fact that you had that goal of 100,000 men. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Yep.
If you change one, you've changed the world. And I know you're going to be changing more than one. So be happy with every change that you make and know full well that that goal is absolutely attainable because of your passion for it. And knowing full well that you're in it. You're in it all the way that 17 inches from the brain to the heart. You are totally into this this wanting to make dads better. I get choked up. I'm sorry.
No. You're valuable. All men are valuable. All women are valuable too, of course. But you're valuable. You're worthy, and great things. There's great things in store for you and for all men. So that's the real message that I'm trying to cultivate, and then help with some practical steps. Because just saying that and hearing that, you're like, yeah. But you know, let's gain some confidence. Let's gain some confidence along the way. And some focus along the way so we can make even better progress. We need to have some horsepower with our plan. We just can't dream a big plan. We got to have some horsepower with it.
Well, you've done the research. You've done the work. You've put it out there for us. You are doing an amazing thing to change the world. And you are exactly why we developed this particular podcast, is to let people know that everybody can make a change in the world. All we have to do is stay focused on it, and you can do it.
I believe that. Thank you, Tom.
I know we've only got a couple, maybe a minute or so left. Is there anything you would like, any closing comment you would like to make, anything in addition to our listening audience here?
You know, again, I think the big message is we all come from different backgrounds. We all, not everybody had an absent father. You might have had a loving father who provided but was very silent, or you might have had a father whose expectations you could never live up to. I have so many stories of men that inspire me, and I'll just leave you with a couple of those because I do think it's inspiring. There's I know a man who and these might not sound inspiring, but these men are true. Yeah, one of the questions that you and I talked about before is like, who is a model? Who is somebody that is a hero of mine? And I've got many heroes. Here's some examples of them, and I'll name one in particular. But I know a dear friend of mine. He's older than me. He's near 80 years old. He has three boys like me. Two of them have already passed away. And yet he continues to find purpose in his life. He continues to, he's very hurt. It's a big wound that's never going to go away. You're never going to replace your children, but he keeps plowing along. I look ahead at him and say, how could I even think about stopping? Right. Unfortunately, I know too many men who've been molested as young boys, and you know that just caused so much damage. Yet they've worked through it, and they're powerful men who are trying to make a difference and trying to stop that that situation in this world. And one of my dear friends, I'll name him by name. My brother's a hero of mine. He helped protect me. He helped guide me. He was the original, my virtual dad that I had, leading me down the path. He's 4 years older than me. And he taught me how to, you know, pay for a car and be industrious and, do some of the things that I needed to do to start my family. So I look up to him. And another dear friend of mine, his name's Fred Casanova. He was a boss of mine. He's been a mentor of mine for almost 30 years. He's got a couple of boys, and the way he's stayed engaged with his family and his career, and now he's a grandfather. He's got such wonderful relationships, Tom, with all of his grandchildren. They call him and he talks to him multiple times a week. I never had that grandfather example in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's my encouragement to everybody here is if I had a superpower, and it's a silly superpower, I just look around a room and I say, do I want to be like that person, or who do I want to mm-hmm. be like? Mm-hmm. And then I go start a conversation with them and I say, hey, what's working for you? How did you do it? And that's where the magic happens. So you don't have to go to my virtual dad. You can do it in your community. You can do it in your neighborhood. You can do it in your work, in your church, in your rec center. You can do it wherever. Go find people that inspire you and who are doing things and say, what made you like that? How did you get there? Mm-hmm. And they're going to give you some good advice, and they're going to probably tell you how they failed a little bit too.
So it's the books you read.
The people you meet. And
the dreams you dream. Got to have all three of those. And there you are. There's your message. Well, Jay, I can't begin to thank you enough for sharing this information with the audience and letting us know that there is some hope out there for the men of the world, that there are programs out there. And your program certainly sounds like one that I definitely want to look into. And I know so many other men will now at this point, too. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. And bless you, my friend.
Thank you for your time, Tom. All the best to you, this podcast, and all the great work that you're doing.
Very good. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Make it a great day.
Okay. And for the rest of you, for our listeners, please listen in again next week for another episode of The Harmony Goal. We want to create more harmony in this world right now. And we want to just make it a better place for every single human being walking this planet. And Jay is a perfect example of the kind of people that are out there doing that. We know they're there. We just don't hear about them. So thank you, Jay. Appreciate you. And tune in next week for another episode.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.